Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, showing the most incredible people doing the most amazing things. And boy, does this one deliciously fit that model here today. We got Willy Wonka, or somebody just like him, in the studio today. Welcome, if you will, Brian Castles from Castles Confections. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
I can't be the first one that's come up with that comparison here. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But, oh, my God, I'm such a fanatic for chocolates and sweets and all these kinds of things. And you make these things.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. I mean, this is a passion of mine that I love. Making this candy, people really enjoy chocolate, obviously, you know,
it's yeah.
people like candy and chocolate and stuff. And, you know, this is, you know, I love putting a smile on someone's face, especially when they taste it, especially for the first time.
What a business. You know, other people, I mean, you feel good. You make, I don't know, washer or dryer, or you're an electrician, or you have a something and you feel good. I offer a service. We offer a service here to the community. But I don't know that people leave going, wow, that is just so incredible here. You must put smiles on people's faces all the time.
Yeah, this is awesome. You know, I love doing it. What's funny is that I don't think people really understand, like, you know, what toffee really is.
No.
Or they haven't really had something.
We're
going like
to go
this.
Through that whole thing here, because
yeah.
I'm not sure I do understand the difference between chocolates and toffees and all these kinds of things that
okay.
go back forever here. So let's start with your story here.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me you were a FedEx driver for 25 years. How does a FedEx driver get into literally making? You're not buying this stuff and just remarketing
no,
it
no,
in the store.
No.
You're making this stuff.
Yeah, yeah no. This is something my mom made when I was a kid. She used to make it during Christmas and package it in little tins and give it to family and friends, neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of like her thing. You know, everybody knew that my mom, Lily is her name, and she would just you know, make it every Christmas. And, you know, fast forward till when I was at a job and she had a bunch left over, I brought some into work
mm-hmm.
and everybody just started throwing money at me. Here, give this
I
to
want
your mom.
Some of the, hey, go make some more. Can you get some for Valentine's Day, for holidays, for birthdays,
yeah.
for Christmas and stuff here.
And that's pretty much how it started. And I, you know, I have to thank all my buddies and coworkers at all the, you know, at FedEx that just basically supported me
yeah.
with this candy that kept pushing me, hey, make it for the different holidays, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. And yeah, it just kind of grew and grew. And, you know, about 7 years ago when I started the business, I thought, you know, if I'm actually going to do this mm-hmm. in the future, I need to actually start the business and figure out all the details.
Yeah, because making handcrafted anything is not easy. It's much easier to make it on an assembly line and just crank stuff out here. So let's talk about toffee. You specifically make handcrafted toffee.
Yes.
What is a toffee?
Yeah, toffee is basically, you know, butter and sugar that is caramelized at a high temperature.
Wait, say, as I say to my grandson, wait a minute. Ooh. Butter and sugar. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you had me already here. Right.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like peanut brittle is probably the most popular type of hard candy.
Right.
But, you know, this is considered a brittle toffee, English toffee. And, yeah, it's caramelized at a high temperature. And, of course, you can use any kind of nut or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I use almonds. A lot of people use pecans or walnuts or whatever, but I only use almonds in mine. It seems to complement this style of toffee with yeah and so I do different types of chocolate on the outside, which gives it a different flavor, believe it or not. You know, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, mm-hmm. white chocolate. I even have a version that has dark chocolate on one side, white on the other. So you're
saying this so fast my mouth is drooling here. We're going to taste some stuff here, folks. Normally I sit in a little box off this thing, but I'm going to show you. We've got some little samples
and I did
here.
Bring some samples.
Oh my goodness, we're going to try some of these things here. And real life, we're going to give you a real life taste testing. All right, so toffee. Is toffee common? And I'm not trying to tout any others but yours, but I have a house in Palm Springs that I inherited, and there's a company out there apparently that makes some kind of specialized toffees too. And my tenant who came out there left this and said, oh, surely you must know this thing. I didn't know. Are there lots of people making handcrafted toffees and candies and stuff, or is this still pretty rare?
You know, it is kind of rare, but it is something that is difficult to make. It's not something that you could just do it once, and you know, it's not like a cake or a cookie where you mix it, put it in an oven, and you forget it for a half hour. I mean, this is something that needs to be stirred constantly, or otherwise it burns. So either you have a machine do it, or you physically do it like me. I sit there and, you know, on my pot on my stove, and I just sit there and have to stir this thing.
Thick? Is it
thicker as the temperature rises. It does get thicker as the, you know, like I said, the sugar and the butter caramelize together. And so then it gets to a certain temperature and it's really hot, over 300 degrees.
Wow.
You pull it off the heat and pour it into a pan, and you got to hurry up and, you know, get it in the pan and spread it out, and it hardens pretty quickly. And yeah, then you just, you know, you could put the chocolate on, or, you know, some people don't like chocolate, so I have a variety without chocolate. But
so did you start making this just, I'll ask this because I also do a show for the Small Business Development Centers. And a couple of years ago, they had somebody come in and talk about, I forgot, it wasn't a candy. I think it was more like a cookie or something. Mm-hmm. And it was something, again, somebody made this. Everybody loved it. They sold it to the PTA. They sold it to the neighborhood. They sold it at work. And pretty soon this lady started saying, maybe I should do this. But she realized two things. One, it was hard to do at home to make in any volume in your little oven, you know. And so two, as you get into selling to the public, you've got all sorts of rules and regulations. I can't just make this. And so maybe I can at the farmer's market. But at some point, I have to have, I don't know, are there food and drugs?
Yeah,
or something?
It's the health department. Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when you're dealing with food, it's probably one of the highest regulated type of products that you do make. Obviously it's going to be eaten, so obviously the level integrity
bacteria,
has to be
very, exactly. It's all got to be health, safety and stuff here. So how did you talk about that thing? People are buying this thing. Hey, this could be a business. Mm-hmm. People are literally throwing money at me. This is like a side gig in the beginning, and then maybe this is a full-time gig. And how did you learn about the regulations? How did you go find I guess there are commercial kitchens around. We had somebody come on that there's a couple of them here in Orange County and Costa Mesa and some other places where if you have something you want to make and package and sell, rather than go buy your own building and your own commercial kitchen, you can start with one of these, and they have all the mixers and the stuff you need to make it in bigger batches, and they'll help you walk through some of the stuff. How did you walk?
Well, luckily this falls under the what we have here in California called the cottage food law, which allows you to make certain types of food products in your home.
I didn't know.
And it's usually non-perishable items, things that don't have to be refrigerated or heated, like hamburgers, hot dogs, things like that are perishable, you know. But this is such a hard candy, and it's shelf stable, so it falls under.
How long will this last? If I found this in 10 years in my grandma's house, I could still eat it.
Yeah, not 10 years, but I give it, you know, this is one of the reasons I do use the glass jars. Uh-huh. It stays fresh. I give it a 4 to 6 month. I always put 4 months on it. It's probably good till 6 months if it's unopened. If you put it in the fridge unopened, it'll be good for a year. I don't recommend.
And what
recommend.
Is it about glass jars? Now, again, I'm going to go afield a bit here. My wife all of a sudden has these mason jars, mm-hmm. and she's putting, because we love fruits and berries and strawberries, and they go bad so fast. Get them, and if we don't eat them right away, they go bad. So she found that she puts them in the jar and seals the jar in the refrigerator. They seem to last longer.
Glass, you know, it's non-porous. It's obviously airtight. So, and that's one of the reasons I use the glass jars. As far as I know, all the other toffee companies that I've seen, they use plastic bags or little boxes, which is fine, but it doesn't keep the toffee as fresh. But the jars are expensive.
I would think,
They obviously they're breakable.
Right.
But they
look cool.
Yeah, they look great as a gift. And that's pretty much what I went, you know, my idea going forward when I started the company was I wanted to make something that was, you know, great for a gift, that presented really well, that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And then
tasted even better.
Yeah.
All right. So you found, did you get some help? Did you go to a consultant? Did you go to a center? Did you go to a commercial kitchen? Or did you just start going online and figuring this out?
That's pretty much what I did. I pretty much went online, and believe it or not, I contacted LegalZoom.
LegalZoom.
Yeah.
That great candy maker, LegalZoom.
Yeah. And I talked to them all about the rules and regulations of what I needed to do, and they pretty much helped me out and kind of set up like a like a timeline of what I could do and what I can't do, especially here in California. You know, every state has their own different laws.
Yeah.
And kind of went and got the LLC for my business and started it up. And I kind of did everything on my own. And, you know, I do reach out to people. I have friends of mine that help me with my website or design and things like that. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of learning as I go. I mean, there's really no, I mean, I can't go to, I always tell people, I can't go to a library and check out a book on how to start your own toffee company.
No, you know exactly. What I mean? So. Well, I'm going to give a shout out because I do some consulting on the side for the small business development centers here. They're funded by the SBA. It's a free service. And they would groan that you didn't find them because that's what they do. They have consultants and they have a lot of restaurant consultants and food consultants because I've interviewed a bunch of them, more than I thought. They will show you the commercial kitchens. They'll help you go learn the regulations, help you figure out your marketing and the rules and the regulations, all for free because it's all this effort by the federal government, SBA, to try and start small businesses here. And this makers movement, this idea of people make, talk about that. Did you go to farmers markets?
Yeah, I did. I went to the farmer markets and craft fairs. And you know, I basically did it on the weekends because obviously I still had my full-time FedEx job Monday through Friday. And if you go, my business was growing at that time and I was getting more and more people and more orders. And so if you go back to 2 years ago during Christmas, obviously Christmas time at FedEx was a, you know, very busy place to be. Of course, the candy is a crazy business time as well. So 2 years ago, I made a decision. I can't do both. I was killing myself. I was getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep every night trying to make the candy, going to work, working 11, 12 hour days. It was just... it was just, you know, I couldn't sustain it anymore. So,
and FedEx is a good job. I'm sure you get good benefits and all this type of thing. You were able to retire, or did you just decide to leave?
No, I actually just pretty much quit. You know, I wasn't able to retire. I wasn't at that age yet, obviously. I still had another 15 years before I could. Wow. And that's one of the reasons I did want to leave. I didn't want to do that job for another 15 years. You know, what's funny is when I first started that FedEx job, I did it. I was going to college.
Right.
And I always thought, well, this is a good job until I find something better.
How many of us have fallen into that trap?
Yeah. I know. And so 25 years later, I finally found something better. But, you know, all my friends and coworkers at my work were like, are you kidding me? You're top out pay. You know, you get 5 weeks vacation.
That's what I was going to say. I've heard everybody look at you like, it's fun to sell this on the side, Brian. I get that. We all want a little side gig. But are you nuts? You're gonna give this great paying job and everything, you've risen through the ranks and here you are and steady income, steady job, and you're going to go off and do something unsteady. And dare I say, you did it at probably the craziest time in the world. There's a thing called COVID, you know, and everybody was shutting down retail stores and...
Well, you know, it's funny because I figured if I was going to do it, then I just had to do it and just see if I could do it. And if COVID, you know, was there or wasn't there, whatever. I mean, you know, if you're going to start a business, I guess you got to push through the tough times as well. I didn't want any, like, you know.
I started this business during the Great Recession, the one before. The other black swan of it.
Right.
Well, this will never happen again. And, you know, businesses are shutting down, disaster. And again, I just said, it's now or never.
Yeah. And so I got an opportunity. I found a retail spot that fit what I was looking for. It was fitted my budget.
How big? I would think it'd be small.
Yeah, it's a small shop. It's only about 800 square feet. It's over in Fullerton. It's called Amherst Heights. There's a shopping center over there. I'll tell everybody, it's off of Malvern and Gilbert. There's a Barnes & Noble over there, which is probably
the last
standing one. There actually might be one around here in Irvine, I believe.
Those
are probably like the only two in Orange County that I know of. But yeah, that's a shopping center with a Target and Albertsons. And then off to the side, there's these apartments with these little businesses underneath. You know, next to me is a hair salon, an acupuncture, like a wellness place. And, you know, it's a perfect location for me. It has a lot of foot traffic and a lot of cars. And
there you go.
This is basically what I needed, you know. And so I thought, you know what, if I don't jump on
this. I got a little extra room here. Maybe we could sell it to UCI here or something.
Yeah, sure.
We're at the UCI Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm sure already people are lining up and asking us about these toffees here. So I'm going to be a little distributor. I'll be a little side vendor for you.
Yeah, I'll cut you in on the commissions.
Have you ever thought of other models like that, of selling online, of selling, I don't know, through gift things or other non-traditional, other than come in, there's a candy store, an old-fashioned candy store, and we make this stuff here. Are there other business models you're exploring?
Yeah, you know, before, obviously, you know, I did the retail location. I did look at third-party sales and other people. The only problem with that was is that I couldn't make it. I couldn't make the candy efficiently at a lower cost without machinery. Mm-hmm. Doing the third-party sales, you know, obviously the person selling it in their store, they need a cut, which is totally, you know, understandable. Yeah. But I couldn't sell it at a high enough price to make it worthwhile, if that makes sense.
Would you ever try and be Mrs. Fields? Yeah. Mrs. Fields is the story I grew up with. I don't know if people still remember that, but she literally was making this stuff like you at home. Her husband had some successful job, or maybe she did too. I think they were like corporate execs or something. It wasn't the normal story, but she somehow had this recipe, and everybody loved it, and she made it. And her husband's, I think it was her husband, said, let's take this and turn it, and let's not franchise it. We're going to own hundreds of Mrs. Fields in every mall across America. And by God, they did. That must have taken some... a big leap of faith to do that. Cookies, a little cookie store. We're going to go into expensive malls at that time here.
Yeah, you know, well, the thing about my toffee and, you know, and toffee in general, really, it's kind of a unique candy. It really, there really isn't a whole lot out there. I mean, people know what it is, and I'm sure they've had some sort of toffee in their past. But, you know, to have like an actual toffee store is pretty different.
It's a category. I don't know quite where it fits. I mean, I know I've had toffee and I've loved it, like the one in Palm Springs and a couple others I've seen. What's the one at Costco they sell all the time?
Oh, yeah. There's other candy companies that have the butter crunch. You know, type of flavor.
But those are like big candy companies.
Right. Yeah. And of course, like See's Candy, you know, they have a bunch of different varieties of chocolates inside their boxes. And they do have a brittle and they do have a toffee as well.
I remember reading years ago, I just read it again. So I've read it twice now. When Warren Buffett's looking for businesses that he wants to invest in, he's looking for sustainable things, outstanding products, great management, great passion. He's not just necessarily looking for the next thing and then I dump it and flip it and whatever. He wants to buy and hold these things forever. And apparently one of his earliest investments, and everybody thought he was nuts, no pun intended, was See's Candy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he's made a fortune. That was, I believe, one of the first of his acquisitions, the first of his model. Let's find businesses, however he determines this, to run basically well and have a real passionate audience. And he wasn't from California. I think they're based in California. He hasn't seen candy here.
I believe so, yeah.
So anyway, he thought the candy business was a hot business. And others are saying, are you nuts? Candy stores, that's from the turn of the century or a long time ago. People don't go into candy stores anymore. You got to have more than candy to make it. Does it go all day long? Or do people come in at certain times of the day? Is it like a... donut shop that closes by noon or something here?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of random, and I'm still feeling it out. You know, I've only been at my shop for a year and a half now, so I'm still learning on when the customers come in. Mostly, obviously, it's on the weekends or in the later evening. But yeah, I mean, this is more of a gift type package that I have here with the toffee.
So you walk, it's a retail thing. I'm going to purchase it. I'm not going to sit there and sample them and eat them.
And they do have free samples though all the time because the people have to taste it. I mean, that's the hook, you know. So I do have all the varieties for free samples, like the ones I gave you.
All right, well, you led into my next thing here. You got some free samples here. Let's talk about them. It's going to be hard to see in this little camera here what I'm looking at.
It looks like you got the white chocolate there.
It looks like, let me take it out of the thing here because I'm going to taste this. All right, so this is, doesn't really show it as well. It really is beautiful. It's white chocolate, like on top and bottom, and that beautiful caramelized toffee.
And the almonds are inside the toffee as well as on the outside.
Okay, drum roll. Am I allowed to say I don't like it if I say that?
Yeah, I want your honest opinion. It does have a unique taste.
Very unique taste.
It's not too hard, you know, but it is crunchy.
So my late father loved butter pecan ice cream, so do
it's
I.
It's one of my favorites, too.
And this has that kind of caramelized flavor of butter pecan ice cream.
Yeah. Mm. And then pecans are, you know, one of the more common nuts that people use when they do make toffee as well. I just use almonds. I haven't really branched out with all the other nuts. You know, I'm just trying to keep up with the varieties that I have.
Okay. Then we're going to move up to this. Looks more like a typical caramelized something here. Toffee.
Is that probably a milk chocolate? Oh, that's just the brittle. So that's just the middle crunchy part without chocolate.
Right.
So there are companies that I actually partner with that use that particular variety in their cookies or in their cupcakes or, you know, any
That's
kind of their baked
good,
goods.
But it tastes like a filler. Something about the white chocolate on top and bottom not only made it sweeter, but I'm not that much of a connoisseur, but it seems to complement it.
Right, better. It does. Yes, for sure.
It adds flavor to it. All right, now we're going to get into the heavy duty stuff. Now I'm mainlining here. I'm taking sugar and I'm shooting up with it here. All right, this one looks like it's got...
It's probably milk chocolate from what it looks like, yeah. That's the number one seller is the milk chocolate.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Yeah, milk and dark are the two most popular varieties.
Oh, wow.
But that definitely has a lot more flavor than the white chocolate.
It sure does. I really like the white chocolate,
mm-hmm.
but this is way up front. We're going to talk like we're wine connoisseurs. This is the very upfront flavor. Immediately you get the milk chocolate here.
Right.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very popular one is the milk chocolate for sure.
But I don't taste as much of the, maybe because the chocolate's so overwhelming.
Yes, and that's where people need to figure out what flavor they like most. And everybody has their, you know, their favorite as far as chocolate is concerned. I mean, chocolate is a very popular food item, and people are very particular about their candy and chocolate.
Now, looks like a dark chocolate or something?
It's probably a dark, that's the dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, okay.
So that one probably might be a little more intense flavor. The dark usually brings out the toffee a little more.
Now, this one I can taste a little more of the toffee, which I didn't think. I thought I would taste chocolate.
Yeah, it's very unique on the different chocolates on what flavors it brings out.
Wow. And I'm going to say, in addition to the toffee, which is wonderful because we had kind of the basic filler toffee, and then we got one with white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate. Your chocolates are exquisite. All three of these chocolates are really, really, especially this one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I don't make the chocolate myself. Wow. Believe it or not, it's just Nestle chocolate, ones you buy in the store.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the better quality.
You must put a lot of milk or sugar or something in this thing here, but wow. That one, I could eat that chocolate alone, but I love I like the textures too. Is that part of it?
Yeah, the texture, crunch, definitely.
You know, a chocolate candy bar, I'm less likely to eat that, and I don't know why. I don't like the gooey ones.
Right.
I like crunch when I bite. That's why I like anything with nuts in it. But this has that caramelized flavor and then the nut flavor and that. What a.
Yeah, you know how it goes with food, right? It's it's not only texture, but it's also, you know, it's also what you see, it's vision, and it's what you smell and taste. So it's, you know.
There is not a bad one in the bunch there, folks. And I'm not just saying this because he's here today. Really, I would tell you if I didn't
like it. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I like the white chocolate was the lightest one, but I thought it complemented the toffee the best because it didn't overpower it. Of the chocolate flavors, that dark chocolate is, milk was good, but that dark chocolate, wow.
Now, are you usually a dark chocolate person?
I guess I kind of am.
Okay.
I like strong cheeses and dark chocolates. I tend to like stronger flavors like that. But that first one just made me think of my dad and butter pecan and vanilla. So it had that kind of vanilla-y flavor like the ice cream would, and then the butter pecan type of thing. So,
right.
I guess I like the two extreme. I can see why the milk chocolate is popular, but that one just tastes like milk chocolate to me. The other two had more of a richer combination of flavors to it. The real light one or the real dark one, that's my personal opinion.
Well, it's funny because, you know, everybody always asks before they taste it, which one is your favorite or which one tastes the best? And I have to tell them, well, it all depends on your taste, on your palate. I mean, I kind of equate it to like beer, you know, you have your dark beers, you have your light beers.
I like dark beers better than
that. And I do too. And so, you know, some
that
of them.
That would be fantastic with like, I'm Irish, like a Guinness Stout or something. Like,
right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or, you know, wine, you know, and I'm not a huge wine person, but I have people that are friends of mine and family and stuff that are wine people, wine drinkers, and they like to pair the different toffees with the certain type of wines.
So could you go out to the wineries in Temecula? Or these?
Well, it's on my list. It's on my list of things to do as growing the company. You know, I mean, this is just me doing this, by the way. I don't have any workers. I don't have any employees. It's just me doing it. I make everything. I package it. I run my store, you know, and then I have to leave every once in a while to go pick up my kids.
I didn't look at your hand to see. I was going to say, do you have kids? Are you married?
I have three kids, yeah. And, you know, they're in school, three different schools, three different schedules.
isn't that Orange County today here? We used to say, normally it's just everybody goes to that school. No, there are three different schools, three different schedules.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was one of the deals, though, is that, you know, we were spending so much money on childcare, after school care.
Yeah.
I mean, it was killing us. And I thought, you know, if I could do the toffee, you know, as my full-time job,
right?
I could go pick up the kids and you know what? I spend a lot more time with them. I go to my kids' basketball, volleyball games now. I wasn't able to do that before. So my quality of life, my freedom, I guess you could say, with this business venture has definitely gotten better. You know, I don't have that Monday through Friday, you know, restrictions
now
that most people do.
You're making me more and more jealous. Not only do you have freedom and a passion that maybe you don't get in a corporate job, great jobs working for these corporations, good benefits, mm-hmm. all the reasons most people do these things. But it's not individual. You're not yourself. You don't get to express yourself. There's no
right.
creativity. You're not in control of your own destiny. You know, now you are, good or bad. You know, it's up to you to build this business and how much you bring in and how far it goes and everything.
Right.
It's kind of exciting. Yeah.
It is. And I tell people it's a different type of stress. You know, the stress that I have with my business, I put it on myself and I can self-regulate that. You know, I can wake up early in the morning and get stuff done, or I can, you know, stay up late, or I can put it off to the weekend if I have to. But, you know, when you're stuck to a job and you have to be there at 8 a.m. and you have to work there, you have to work regardless of whether you feel like it or not.
Right.
And so
whether you're feeling it or not,
exactly.
you got to be there. So it really is kind of an inspiration. All these small businesses, people that take a big leap and leave a steady gig mm-hmm. and go out on their own to follow some passion and do something. And it's creative, and it could grow as far as you want it to grow, or it could stay right where you want it to be. It certainly gives you more freedom and all those other things. What's the downside? It's scary, and it's uncertain.
It is. You know, like you said, you know, opening up a business, especially a food business, a small business, retail anyway, during COVID was, you know, not probably the best time to do it.
A little crazy. Right, yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it was now or never. It was something that I felt like, hey, you know, if this is going to be profitable, then I got to see if it works. And if it can work during these downtimes, then I can make it work, then I know there's
I'm
a future
for
it.
Another one of those dark chocolate ones here.
I have a whole bag over here of samples.
I was like, wow, that's really addictive. I could just sit and, you know, go off on that. All right. How old are your kids?
So my oldest one, my daughter, Brenna is her name. She's just turned 15 yesterday, actually, yesterday. Yesterday was her birthday.
Okay.
So
shout out to Brenna.
Yeah. Brenna. And then Ella, she's, what is she, 13 now? Jeez. Yeah, so she's 13.
Dad, this is going to look bad when they hear this.
Yeah, so she's in 8th grade. Right. And then my son, his Grant, he's 7 years old in 2nd grade.
So the question I always ask, the guy who runs the Small Business Development Center, there are 6 centers here in Orange, in the Inland Empire, Orange County region here. All of us work at the SBDC. I don't know why I'm plugging them. But, you know, we have real jobs, and then we part-time work for this, you know, organization to help people.
Right.
And the guy that runs the whole thing inherited some Rocky Mountain candy stores. I think that's what
they're. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's one of the ones that's in the malls as well, yes.
And he's, I guess they're a franchise or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
yeah,
something.
I think they're a franchise, yes.
And he's got 2 or 3 of them, a couple of them here, and his father left them. And he talks about working in these stores when he was a kid and saying to himself, this is the last thing I'm ever going to do is run this candy store. And now he's running the candy store, and his son is of age, I think he's like in high school or getting ready to go to college, and he's trying to make that decision. Any possible interest in any of these kids continuing the family business, the family legacy?
I hope so. You know, that's kind of the reason I'm doing it. You know, I hope I can grow the business to a certain point where it's profitable to me to leave to my kids,
yeah.
And hopefully they can run it, you know, and I can retire or whatever. But yeah, I mean, my kids are at my shop, you know, a lot because I pick them up from school.
Right.
They hang out there. They do their homework.
Do they make the candy?
They don't really make it. that's a little, you know, maybe in a couple years, you know, they'll be old enough to actually, you know, more mature, I guess you could say.
Trying to picture a 7-year-old in a stool, you know.
I know, yeah.
Well, we had Ken Potrock in here, who's the current president of Disneyland. He was in here a few months ago here on another show. And he talks about his parents had a little deli right across from in Brooklyn, right across from where the Brooklyn Dodgers used to play when he was a kid. And he said that was the deal. Everybody in the family, 7, 8, he's doing something in the restaurant. He's cleaning or fixing or selling or doing something. You know, this is the old style mom and pop restaurants and mom and stuff. Pizzerias and all this kind of stuff here. Why not? If they have any interest in it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, those type of businesses and those type of ideas have kind of gone away.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
Especially in the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
You just don't see those anymore. Like you said, the delis where they had the shop underneath and they lived upstairs.
That's what
you
know? Did. That's what they did. Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a shame that these smaller businesses, and you know what, they just can't, we can't make it. I mean, it's so difficult to compete with these big corporations.
And yet we, the public, appreciate. Look at the growth of microbrewed beers and stuff, making your own beer. Look at the growth of go to any farmer's market, all these people making and stewing. We had somebody in here yesterday who is a luthier. I think I said that right. It makes custom guitars, one at a time, and they're real expensive, like $10,000 something, so she only has to make a few. But she went to Spain, and she studied how to do this, and this is a second career again here, late in life, and she's been doing it for a while. And she has a little shop, and she sits there. This is like going back to the 1800s or something. You know, these people that make things. And the public, if they're like me, maybe I'm putting my own, I just want to support those kind of businesses because I appreciate what they're doing, and it's so much better and different than the stuff you get processed off the assembly line.
Oh, 100%.
There's always a need for processed food. Gibson guitar is made in a big assembly line, but we forget. I'd much rather find that old Leo Fender guitar when he had a literally an electronic shop in Fullerton,
right,
and was making these things by hand. There's something about handmade that has really resurged and come back again here, and I think you're right at the sweet spot, dare I say.
I hope so.
For this thing here. I hope everybody tries this. Why would you want to go, if you have a sweet tooth, why wouldn't you want to go support the guy who makes the stuff? Do you have other crazy flavors or flavor of the month or oddball things you
I do want to start, you know, branching out and, you know, doing different types of flavors of the toffee. You know, you can actually add flavoring to the chocolate.
Yeah.
You can add orange flavoring or, you know, cranberry or whatever.
Yeah. Liqueur flavors.
Yeah,
stuff,
you could do Kahlua or, you know, Bailey's, the Irish cream and all those type of flavors. And that goes great with this type of candy. But one of my biggest sellers in the last year that I've done is I do an ice cream.
Oh.
I do a toffee ice cream. So I take the toffee and I chop it up and I whip it into the ice cream.
Yeah.
And I sell them in pints, half gallon sizes. And then I also have an ice cream bar. If you look at your little brochure that I gave you here.
We have a little brochure here.
It's got a picture here of the ice cream bar that I have, which is pretty much a number one seller
right now. And you do, it says business parties and catering and other stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, they...
hard for this to see here, but yeah.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, they'll like have like, you know, employee appreciation type events and stuff. And then they'll hire me. I'll show up with my cooler and hand out, you know, they got 100 employees. And then I'll hand out the 100 ice cream bars for them. And it's, you know,
I got to come and try an ice cream bar because I'm an ice cream freak.
And I would have brought some and
luckily, would have melted
It would have melted. Yeah. And that's why I didn't. And ice cream is not fun to work with. But you know what? Everybody appreciates a good ice cream. And that's been a big seller. So
everybody appreciates people who make stuff out of passion with an old family recipe, who do it without all the fillers and the other crap, I'm sorry to say, that they put into commercial productions to cut costs and to increase shelf life and all this. Why do we love this stuff, but we can't find many people like you making these things. More and more they're starting to appear, but it's still a rarity.
Yeah. You have to seek out the things that you're looking for, especially if it's handcrafted or, you know, homemade and all that
stuff. Beers, handcrafted jams, handcrafted cookies, handcrafted toffee.
And I think people, you know, they forget, you know, sometimes they complain it's obviously more expensive. My item is obviously more expensive than what you would find in their store. But, you know, there's that, you know, age old saying, you get what you pay for.
And I'm not going to eat that much of it. So whatever the added cost of that little candy from a Mars bar or from something I go to Costco doesn't seem like much. You're not percentage wise, it might be, but I'm not talking about I went from, you know, a candy for, whatever a box of candy is at Costco to something that's $100 or $1,000 or something. What kind of range are these at? Give us some
principles. Well, actually, so these jars here, there's 1 pound of candy in each jar, 1 pound of toffee in each jar. So they're $25 each.
Okay.
So it's pretty comparable to what's actually out there on the market.
How long would that last? Because it's so rich, I can't eat that much of it.
Well, you know, a lot of people buy it for their family or they have it in their kitchen and they share it, or they'll buy one jar for themselves and another jar for the rest of the family and they try and hide it. But, you know... it depends. You know, usually lasts, usually a week or so. People probably take a piece of candy, you know, maybe every night for dessert or something like that. And it'll probably last a couple of weeks. It just depends on what they use it for and how quickly they eat it.
And if I went to See's Candy or some other bigger place, what was a pound of candy cost? I have no
idea. So a pound of candy at See's Candy, last I checked, I think it's over $30. I think it's $32 or $33.
That's crazy. All right. So I don't see any difference then. This is
and also I do have a jar buyback policy where if they bring the jar and the lid back to me, then I give them $3 off their next purchase.
Because, cool,
you know, it's glass, so we can
and you want to
re-sanitize and reuse them.
Yeah, exactly. I love the whole business model. I wish you nothing but the best. I can tell you the stuff is outstanding, folks. Really, it's hard to convey, but this stuff is really rich. It's creamy. It's got a real bold flavor to it. And I'd love to see you experiment with some other crazy things, cranberries and other sorts of things. And because I think that's one of the fun of going to like microbrew beers.
Right.
Or a couple custom distilleries have popped up or places they make cookies, because you try stuff you would never otherwise see. There's the mainstream, like you said, the milk chocolate. Of the three you had, that's your biggest seller.
Right.
That was the one that was like, nice. But these others are things I've never seen before. Very unusual. So I'm looking for the unusual. I'm looking for the special when I go out. I don't want just another thing right. that I can go get somewhere else. And so I think the more you experiment, the better. I can see lots of ways to go with this thing here. Corporate events, corporate branding things. You know, some company, they're going to give it as a gift of all 1,000 of their employees or something here. And you're tons of these companies out here today here. And they're all looking for something special and unique to give away at the holiday times here.
Yeah, I do have a lot of businesses that I partner with that, you know, they have, like, there's this one company, financial company, they, for their clients' birthdays, you know, I send them a jar on this company's behalf for on their birthday.
Oh,
so
how cool
I do.
Is that?
So, you know, I just put
nobody thinks of me here at this giant FedEx. Oh, look, they got me a little jar of candy. How cool. Really, how excited people would be to get something
right.
simple like that.
So, yeah. So there's always those options. And, you know, there's a lot of companies, like I said, I do partner with that do those type of things for their clients and their employees, especially during the holiday season. You know, Christmas is always crazy for candy. So,
keep talking. I'm eating again. Milk chocolate. That white chocolate one is the other one. I really like that one. Okay.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I'm trying to talk and chew at the same time here. Give us the address and phone number and website while I finish chewing here.
Yeah. So obviously we're located in Fullerton. It's 951 Starbuck Street. It's in Fullerton, 92833 in California.
There's a street named Starbuck. Is there a Starbucks on Starbucks?
You believe it or not, there is 4 Starbucks in
Starbucks.
My shopping center. Unbelievable, right? There's one in every store. There's a freestanding one. Yeah, I don't think the street has anything to do with the actual Starbucks. But yeah, it's Starbucks Street, so it's in Fullerton. But yeah, if you go to castlesconfections.com.
Make sure, don't try.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do castle. Does everybody want to do
Everybody wants to do that, yeah. But it's Castles with an S, castlesconfections.com. And you can go there and see all the different products that I have, all the information. You can, you know, reach out to me by email, which is castlesconfections@gmail.com. Okay. Obviously, I'm on Instagram, Facebook. If you just put in Castles Confections, all my...
Do you hold up different samples? Because that's the beauty of places like Instagram. A friend of mine calls it almost like food porn. Oh, look at this.
Yes.
Oh, look at this. And you drool and you know, wow, and everything.
I need to be more active on the social media. You know, I'm not too tech savvy, and I definitely don't like filming myself. So I got to get my kids, and I keep telling them, hey, I'll pay you, you know, come on, you know, shoot some videos for me, because they know all about that TikTok
stuff,
you know.
My 7-year-old grandson, hire him. He knows how to drool. He wants to be an influencer already. That's his whole goal
exactly.
in life, is to be at 7. All right, cool stuff, incredible stuff, tasty stuff, a very interesting business model, and at a time when, you know, the world has gone to standardize, corporatize, commoditize food, the idea of specialty stores reappearing and people actually making it out of passion, out of family recipes, richer, tastier, better, maybe a little more expensive, but not that much more, and I think it's well worth the exercise. Fullerton's Castles Confections. Thank you so much for coming in here. I got to end it here because I got to go back and eat some more.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you to my mom for, you know, teaching me how to make this. You know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here.
Is mom still with us?
Yes, she is. Yes.
And how old is roughly?
She's in her 70s. And you know what? She's got 9 grandkids that she takes and watches in different times.
There you go.
She's very active. My mom and dad are still around, and they're very active with their grandkids. And everybody's so local. Both my sisters, they still live here in the area.
Oh, my goodness, you're blessed. Yeah.
So, yeah, we
it's a family business. Does mom come down to the store and say, hey, this is my recipe?
All the time. And you know what? In fact, yesterday when I went to go pick up my kids, my mom watched the store for over an hour while I played Mr. Mom and ran around and
people say,
where
does this come from? She says, ah, it comes from my grandmother here or something. Is it go back that far?
You know what? I'm not sure where the recipe actually came from. I do know all my whole family has it. My mom was just really the only one that stuck with it and actually kept making it consistently to get, you know, to get it down. You know, it's because it's so temperamental. You know,
where does toffee come from? Is this it's a European thing?
Yeah, it's an English type of candy. It probably originated in Europe somewhere. I should probably know the history details more, but
wouldn't that be weird if somehow your great great grandfather was grandmother was a chocolatier?
That would be funny.
Coming back to your roots here.
I know, right?
Generations later. Well, I'm going to say it one more time. Where is it? It's Castle's Confections. It's in Fullerton. And give us a website or something.
Castlesconfections.com. Very, very simple. You can even do keywords. You know, just type in, gourmet toffee or Orange County toffee,
handcrafted
toffee.
I love it. All right. Thanks for joining us here today. We went a little long, but you had me at hello here. You had me at toffee.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, there you have it. I'm going to keep it short because I'm going back to eat some more of this stuff here. Incredible story of an incredible business, incredible idea. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.